The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh, new, smart talk all day. Fire, fire, fire. Good morning, Bahaman and Mafio. I think that's a new track. That's a blazer. I love it. I love it. But listen, don't blaze too much because the sun is already on the job. It is obviously summertime. Welcome to On the Clock on this Friday, the 27th of May, 2022. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Well, good morning. Good yawning this morning. Good morning, Mr. Eric Sawyer
III. Good morning. How are you, my dear?
I am great. Look here. I need you to know I am great. I finally got my Buccaneers paraphernalia, my official Appalachian Cami Buccaneers tights. You know, I've been a Buccaneers fan from 1979, long time. Even before Tom Brady was thinking of playing football, I was pulling for the Buccaneers. I just need you to know that, sir. You doubt my loyalty and commitment to a sports team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just like the Buccaneers for the colors.
I could be honest with you. I think Tom Brady is a Bahamian. And as a Bahamian, you have to pull for a Bahamian. And that is the Bahamian that I am pulling for this 2022-2023 NFL season.
But I tell you, I ain't pulling for the Celtics. I tell you that.
Well, we can get to that in a second. I am so looking forward to seeing the Celtics and the Warriors in the NBA Finals this year. You know why?
Warriors in five.
You think so?
Warriors in five.
Unfortunately, I think so too, except for this one little thing. The last time the Warriors and the Celtics met in the finals.
Yeah, that was back before Finland was in power.
Yeah. I mean, that was like in
1934.
1935. 1964, for real. Yeah, and they weren't even the Golden State Warriors at the time.
No.
It was the San Francisco Warriors.
Something.
And then before that, and that was, I think that's the, so that would have been the only time they would have met in a finals. But they played before that in the playoffs. They met up.
Uh-huh.
But at that time, they were the Philadelphia Warriors.
Yeah,
like they were an East Coast team. And so they only played in the playoffs. And the Celtics beat them in the finals. 2 years before that, the Celtics finished their playoff run. Two years before that, the Celtics finished their playoff run again.
Yeah, that's back when the NBA was eight teams, man. You know, those championships, they don't count.
You sure? Don't tell Dr. J that.
No, I'm speaking to all Celtic fans out there. Like, your championships from the 60s don't count. Fellas only go on to dinner after they won. They don't have no money for no champagne or nothing yet.
See, I grew up in the age of the Lakers-Celtics rivalry in the 80s. So that it would be the late 80s, 90s, right?
Yeah.
I was so young. You pull for whoever the people in your house pulling for. That's where we were. But I grew up, it was a fierce competition in the neighborhood I grew up in. Because I grew up with, I grew up a couple doors down from Rick Fox's parents. Not really him. Okay. From his people, you know? Yeah. And then we had a lot of, I mean, we had tons of Laker fans, Celtics fans.
Yeah, he was a Celtic, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Believe it or not, he was at a very good Celtic at that.
Yeah, yeah, actually he was.
He took a pay cut to go to the Lakers to win some chips, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, he was a very good two-way player for the Celtics.
DeAndre Ayton, yeah. You heard that, right? Buddy, you heard that, right? Last week we talked about Tom Brady, who made some very savvy business moves and essentially negotiated a lower pay salary, a lower pay, for the purpose of building a stronger team.
Yeah, but Ayton ain't Brady. Ayton needs to get his mind right and understand. He's the biggest fella on the court. Play like it.
Yeah.
Be the big behemoth. Put it on a shirt. Listen, you heard it there first. Put it on a shirt. The big behemoth. That'll take Phoenix by storm. If Phoenix decides they can re-sign him, that is.
Yeah.
Because they do have an option.
Yeah, yeah, go.
Whether or not they can.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading the Bleacher Report last night, right? I found this article on the Bleacher Report.
Mm-hmm.
Every NBA team's dream offseason trade target.
Yeah.
Both DeAndre and Buddy Hield are on the list. A list of 30 players. Top top trades, right? DeAndre is 4 out of 30. He's at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And they're saying that Charlotte Hornets should grab DeAndre if Phoenix Suns don't catch sense.
He look good with the Melo ball. For real. He look good with him. But Melo, DeAndre got to get a little faster if he can play in Charlotte, because LaMelo rolling.
Yeah.
He rolling something.
But one of the things they said was that it would be a good time. It would be a good time to make that transition. The age he's at and the stage he's at in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That Charlotte team would grow well together.
He could build with LaMelo.
Yeah.
Because Booker's already first team All-NBA, so he already had another stratosphere now. You know, he's officially a superstar.
Okay.
You know, he's got to get superstar money now because of this.
Yeah.
Even more money. Because his contract, it's what, 170-something million. And now because he made the All-NBA first team, he gets an additional 30-something million dollars. His contract went to 212, 213.
Yeah.
Instantly, just like that, overnight.
Yeah, so we're telling him, listen, you get focused on playing hard. And all that money you're making, you keep that for therapy, right? Like, you play hard knowing that you're going to spend money on recuperation and taking care of your body.
LeBron James, and you know we have to speak about him every week. He is indeed the king. He spends $1 million a year just on the recuperation of his body.
Yeah.
$1 million every single year on physiotherapists and hyperbaric chambers and ice baths and the works.
Right.
Massages. And
absolutely. So in some local news, right, we can talk about Buddy. Buddy's going to play for the Bahamas to qualify in games for the Olympics. And I think it's important for everybody to understand this, right? If you are a spectator, if you are a potential sponsor or an actual sponsor, if you want to support the team in some way, figure out how to do it. What they do off the court is just as important as what they do on the court.
Yes.
That recuperation, that work, right? That training to recuperate, that requires resources, and it requires a space within which that could happen.
Nice and quiet, too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need a bunch of, first of all, we don't need a bunch of groupies, male or female, running around the place trying to entertain people. They don't need no entertainment.
Pay for the security to keep them safe.
Right.
That's your contribution. You know, if that's all you could contribute, pay for the security guards to be with them.
Vet your staff so everybody knows what the program is.
No phones.
Like we sending the team to the moon.
No phones.
No intern, no pictures.
No pictures, no phones.
Right?
These fellas there, they can be in little to less than nothing. You know, because most fellas who play in the NBA and playing professionally, they, for the most part, I don't know if you notice the camera, it's always above the neck.
Yeah.
These fellas in underwear, a towel, or less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sitting there talking to reporters.
Yeah, yeah.
So there can't be any.
Yeah, none of that. No mistakes. No capturing something.
No slip ups.
No WhatsApp feed.
Nothing.
And this is also about industry, and creating these spaces means creating jobs, creating an industry. So all my sports massage therapists.
This is your time.
All my physical therapists.
This is your time.
People who do ice therapy.
This is your time.
I look here. I about to get my degree now on the allotherapy course I've been doing in the bush. I mean, don't mind the bush part. But these are the things mm-hmm. that we're talking about, right?
Yes.
What are the medical, therapeutic, and then sort of lighter therapeutic services that you could provide to build this space? Because a couple of things are happening. Buddy's building his...
And don't be fooled with Buddy joining the team. It'll also show the current team members exactly what it takes to be at that professional level.
Yeah.
Buddy's going to bring that level of discipline.
And I want...
When you're tired, that's when you go shooting, you know.
Yeah.
When you're tired. After you finish working out, after you finish running, after you finish training.
That's when you knock out.
Then you go shoot.
Because what you're looking for is to build that muscle memory. I'm so tired. I don't need to think about it. I just need to close my eyes
and shoot.
Put that ball up.
Exactly.
10,000 hours.
Exactly.
Every day. So Buddy spent the weekend building his AAU team.
Yeah, he can't take them all over, but I understand it was standing room only in AFL.
Yeah, they had to cut the entry.
Yeah.
They hit the quota for tryouts.
Yeah,
and so I want to say to all the young people,
100 fellas out there.
Yeah, to all the young people that didn't make it in, look, here's more time.
Bit more time next year.
Keep focused. Keep training. Stay off the block unless it's the running block, mm-hmm. right? And you training.
Stay healthy.
Yeah, man, it's an investment. It really is an investment, and anything. Let me tell you something. Anything could happen. I grew up with Rick Fox a little. I keep telling people this story. Rick Fox's little brother, Aaron Fox, was badder than him. I could look Rick Fox in his face and tell him that. I know your brother was badder than you before he had a tragic accident. Just rolling on a go-kart on Johnson Road. Mm. And that completely changed his life. I was ready to just run to the shop. I used to be a runner to go just get cup and ice. For this boy, while he was playing on the court, he was just spectacular.
Good old cop, boy.
So focus, sacrifice, discipline, commitment to the vision and to the goal. Yeah. So Buddy said he thinks that taking about 16 to 18 young men over is ideal because you get the playing time. It's not just exposed to the opportunity, but it's really about getting on the court and making your time there worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't make this cut this year, you guys. Stay tuned, keep training.
Yeah, man. Your time coming.
Buddy Buckets ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, of the 16, 18 fellas that go in,
yeah.
Buddy probably is looking at about 4 or 5 of them to, you know,
take it a step further.
Right, take it a step further. Yeah. Which means next year, there'll still be another 16 to 18 spots.
Exactly.
Which you have to try that much harder to be in the top quarter.
Yeah.
That's all.
Absolutely.
That's all.
And keep training, man. So, Buddy say he can play for the Bahamas.
I love it.
This is great.
Kai Jones need to play for the Bahamas. And DeAndre Ayton need to play for the Bahamas. Let's get a team, man.
Yeah, you know? a really good showing.
Yeah, let's get a good showing.
Fortunately, it seems as if they're going to have an easy move into the second round of this set of qualifiers.
Yeah,
they'd be
in USVI, yeah.
Yeah, and it's 4 teams in the group. The top 3 teams go through to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
USVI hasn't won a game yet.
Right, we just got to continue beating them.
Right. Although the Bahamas is third, all we got to do is beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They're USVI. I've been there. I like y'all. It ain't about that. We just really need to beat y'all and push this forward.
Yeah, you know, Tim Duncan ain't there no more, so we can do that now.
Right. And that's the next thing. Y'all is the whole USVI. And y'all ain't got no more players to help y'all? Let's do a thing. Caribbean solidarity. Let us push forward.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Anyway, let's support these guys. They are going off to play, I think, in July. They said to play in the third window of the 2023 FIBA Basketball World Cup Americas qualifiers in July. And the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023 is set to be held in the Philippines, Japan, and Indonesia, August 25th to September 10th, 2023. The Bahamas is, like I said, they're going to play USVI first, I think. And then on Monday, July 4th, they're going to fly home to play the Dominican Republic at the Kendall G. L. Isaacs Gymnasium.
I ain't gonna go watch.
And look here, I mean, July 4th is U.S. Independence, right?
Yeah.
What a great way to celebrate independence by go watch them play basketball. An American sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that'd be fun.
That's what it is.
Something to do with the family, too.
That's our unspoken national sport, so yeah.
There you go.
I'm good with that.
Now look here, I did miss out something, Mr. Sawyer. I got just a couple of local news things to mention before the local news sports, right?
Grand Bahama,
Oh, you mean the con
Yeah,
how, Kakakon.
Yeah, how
anyway,
stuff
the championship athletics going to Grand Bahama.
Okay, there's stuff happening there.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I'm happy for that. I'm happy for Grand Bahama.
All right, but I want to remind the people that tomorrow, the Paul Hanna and Friends CD release and benefit concert to aid Paul Hanna's medical journey is taking place tomorrow at the Courtyard at the Humidor, Greycliff, 6 p.m., to 8 p.m. The concert is concert only is $50. Concert and dinner is $90. For tickets, please visit ariamusicclass.com/shop. That's ariaa musicclass.com/shop. You can WhatsApp 802-8368. For more information.
It should be a good night of music.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, some of the most talented jazz and classical artists in the country.
That should be a great night.
Are going to be playing. Yeah. Should be very fun. I hope to see you guys out there. I'm going to see if I could sneak in and listen to some good jazz music. I need to calm down.
I get a good cognac, you know, maybe a G2, you know.
I can't. I'm not allowed to drink.
Condolences.
Yeah. It's okay. I'm living with it.
I'm not allowed to drink while I'm on radio with you.
We all have rules we have to follow. Okay, I got a text here. Good morning, Aaron. Can you tell me if evaluation is mandatory on a job and how can I obtain a labor law handbook? Okay, go to the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic and ask them, how can you access all labor law-related books and paraphernalia that's accessible to the public? I think an evaluation is mandatory on the job, considering some labor laws I think it is mandatory. But again, check with the Labor Board and the Eugene DePuch Law School Legal Aid Clinic. Another text. I love my fellow Bahamian DeAndre Aiden, but he needs to stop demanding a max salary because he's not a max player. He has a lot of work to do to develop his game.
Yeah, he has some work to do, but it all starts mentally first. Mm-hmm. If he just decides, you know what, I bigger and badder than everybody on the court, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to show and I can prove it, you get a max salary in no time. Yeah, that's why they gave it to Mikal Bridges last year as opposed to him.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just a mental thing with him. Like, he just don't know he big.
Yeah. You need a little Charles Barkley energy.
Yeah, man. He need that.
Who wasn't big but knew he was big.
Exactly. He wasn't big, but he just knew.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it right there.
If I just work a little bit harder, push a little bit faster, I can get that rebound. I'm going to score.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what
my time.
Just like how Bahamians drive. If I push a little faster, I can make that light.
Right. I can make that light 5 cars behind. And if I don't make the light, I just can go around.
And make the light anyway.
And still make the light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And blow the horn and look at people like, I am the right.
Yeah, that's what they're out there doing. Which is why I want to ask the Bahamas government, why have you not seen fit to put motocross in, that's what it is, that's what they call racing the car over bumpy road, in, don't call it NASCAR, because we can't do 500 laps in the Bahama Games. We should have a driving competition in the Bahama Games. You know why? Because then we'll have a space in which to set a standard for driving.
Yeah, well, you know, people in the smaller cars, the smaller vehicles in life, they're going to fail, you know, because I see a bunch of it, like, you know, like reversing across two lanes of traffic. That's against the law, you know.
Yeah.
But Bahamians feel like because they go in that way, they don't want to go back this way to turn around in somebody's yard and do it properly.
Yeah.
And come back the way they came.
Yeah.
No,
you talk about reversing. They don't even know that just driving across two lanes of traffic
is
a problem.
That's against the law.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get into traffic and
Into your lane and then change lanes.
And then change lanes. No, they just jump out and decide, you know what, I can't over there, so I can go over there.
Because I'm thinking, we got to do something. And I'm thinking maybe this is the way to do it, right? If it's up to me, I take in all your cars. That's why they can't make me no police. I take in your car, buddy. I take in your car.
Oh, your whole car gone.
If we create a professional sport, a professional space, right? then maybe we can encourage and create a standard. Unfortunately, the professional commercial drivers are not doing it. They're not doing it. Because normally in a developed world, that's how it happens. Your commercial drivers set the standard. If you can't meet the standard that a commercial driver could meet, right? You can't
then
get
you don't qualify.
That, yeah, you can't get that big money.
Yeah.
That's the standard, right? But that ain't what you can hear. I don't know what happened. I just want to implore you, dear commercial driver in the Bahamas, you may be anonymous to the other drivers around you in the moment, but let me tell you how easy it is to find out exactly who you are driving that vehicle with your company's name on it and a license plate and an identifying number on it. I just feel bad for y'all. See, I'm not going to call you stupid because that's not, that it just don't, it's not useful.
Mm-hmm.
But you're ridiculous. And the constant complaint, oh, you won't take my good job. Why are you being so petty? I need a job. If you needed a job, then you wouldn't risk it by turning right on red in a vehicle with 12 tires. You know how big your vehicle is to have 12 tires?
You're talking about people that just turn on a red light on the corner of Market Street and Robinson Road? Yeah, because that is not a place to turn right on.
Yeah, on red.
But people continuously turn right at that light.
Yeah, it is.
No, not even red, green.
Yeah.
That's not a light to turn right on. Like, you go left and only left.
Yeah, it is. It is troubling, but maybe if we get driving, because Bahamians like to drive,
mm-hmm.
they are in some way, they are very connected to that sort of, not commercial driving, but professional sports driving. We watch that, we follow that.
They would like to think that they are connected to that.
No, they're connected. They'd like to think that they could do it.
Yeah, right.
Right,
yeah,
they're connected to
it,
right? That may be the space within which we develop safer driving cultures.
True.
You know, that may do it. I think young men...
We could farm drivers the way we're trying to farm gods.
Yeah, we could do.
We should farm gods.
We could do, and you know why? We have family islands for those races. I mean, we don't necessarily have the roads yet, but we have the expanse of land for large races, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could become a part of our sports tourism profile as well. Could work.
People will do it. People will ship their cars at a race. Yeah, no problem. We just got to make sure have the correct storage.
Yeah. And then we got to get the medevac situation sorted out.
Right away.
Yeah, because if I put nitrous in my car.
Right, and herein lies a problem.
Yeah.
If you don't have proper emergency personnel on staff.
Yeah, that's the only part.
Yeah.
But it's a beginning conversation. It's a beginning conversation.
You got to crawl before you can walk.
Yeah. Okay, another note.
Oh, by the way, Warriors in five. Warriors in five.
You think Warriors can take it in five?
In five.
I don't know.
Shout out to BJ. Warriors in five.
Listen, I don't know because at first the Celtics look like a very new team to me. Faces I don't know. Attitudes I'm not used to on the court.
What the Celtics fail to realize and their fans fail to realize is that the Warriors have been doing this as a juggernaut. Six of the last eight seasons, they've gone to the finals, right?
Yeah.
The Warriors are not a team that exudes their will upon any team. Mm-hmm. They can be physical when need be. Check the Memphis series. But for the most part, they are a team of pure shooters.
Right, so they
teamwork.
They win by outscoring you, not necessarily defense shutting you down.
They have good defense now.
Yeah, yeah.
Mind you, like their hands are very active.
Yeah.
Mind you. They get a lot of deflections, and from they get a deflection, somebody can leak out and the ball gone, and they don't even go to the rim like that. They stop in and pop in.
Now watch this. I saw this article by James Worthy, the great James Worthy, mm-hmm. right? I loved it. I was in my element. Because he's being old and sort of slightly petty. He's being old and slightly petty. And
still truthful, though. Still truthful. All these fellas want to lift weights and get tattoos. Yeah,
yeah, that's what he said. And, mm-hmm. and pop threes and true threes.
Yeah, that's they don't know the game.
And he was saying a part of it is this. It's like a real sort of policy space, right? Is that these young men are not spending enough time in college with real coaches, with real strenuous and tested and tried programs.
Mm-hmm.
And not so they're not just not getting the physical experience and training on the court, but they're also missing out on a large
life skills.
There you go.
On life skills.
Right. So when I read that article, it's a nice article, you know.
I read it too.
With DeAndre Ayton playing video games.
And I was quite in agreement.
Yeah.
You know, because the NBA has moved to this gather step. Anybody that's played any kind of ball, whether it's pickup, night league, any kind of ball,
yeah,
knows that there's no such thing as a gather step.
That's when you could gather yourself and try and make another step, right?
That's a travel.
Yes.
That's what I came up with. But these fellas taking 3 and 4 steps, they just jump stepping in the lane, taking an extra step. It's called a gather step. And that is what is causing these scores.
Yeah.
It's 120 to 110. Jordan won a championship. The final score was 87-86, you know, his final championship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
87-86.
Yeah.
That's it. These teams scoring 100 points normally. And they're like ninth, 10th in scoring in the league.
And this is amazing because I see the refs are, I think they are overexerting their authority on the court. I think that they are ruling in spaces that they should give some leeway. I think their attempt to quash a bit of that recklessness in the beginning of the playoffs may have killed the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're so heavy on policing the court, why are you not gripping this gather step and putting it on the bench?
Because the NBA has told them, listen, we have to allow that to allow for better scoring, higher scoring, so that way we can get more players to watch the game. Because, you know, Kobe was on the way to retirement. Braun getting a little bit older.
Westbrook need to watch his back all the time.
Right. Westbrook, Durant. And these fellas, they live and die by the gather step.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, not LeBron, you know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They live and die by the gather step. And so you have players that they come up in a system whereby if they don't have a gather step, they don't know how to take 2 steps.
You're right.
And now scoring is going to be low because after you take 2 steps, you got to stop and look around. These fellas just take 2 steps, then do a Euro step. That's their gather step. And then come up with a shot. What?
James Harden
made that famous. He was playing with the Rockets back then. Playing the Warriors and I think it was the Eastern Conference semifinals. It should have been 2016 or 17.
Yeah.
And James Harden did it, you know. He dribbled, took two... Dribbled, picked up the ball, took a gather step, then took 2 more steps back, shot the ball, 3, went in. Steph Curry came right down the court, did the exact same move, and they called traveling on him. Because as far as the NBA is concerned, look, you're done. You're ready. The best shooter the NBA has ever seen.
Hold on.
We can't let you have a gather step, too.
Is that why Harden always looked like he limping? Like, is that why he always looked like he just come off the set of Shaft? You always got a swagger. Yeah. That's him practicing that gather step, right?
Practicing that gather step.
Listen, so it seems like Harden is the problem.
Harden is the problem.
Yeah.
He is.
You think he's brought a degree of indiscipline? The thing that James Worthy is talking about?
Of course.
He the what would you call that? He is
the trailblazer,
the stamp on that. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy. You see, I always have on my jersey, right? Because watching these games, it feel like I could step on the court at any time and join the team.
I see what you throw back Vince Carter jersey on.
Yeah, ain't nobody was more vicious. Ain't nobody could posterize you better than Vince Carter.
No one was a better in-game dunker. Not Jordan, not Dominique, not D. Brown, not Spud Webb.
This boy was
just... This boy, Jesus. Yeah. In-game dunker, son.
Yeah. I mean, and he built on the legacy... what the boy played for the team in the white, yellow, and green?
Sean Kemp.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. He built on the legacy
Seattle
of Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
Supersonics. Where are they? Have they changed their team name?
They are no longer in the NBA. They are, well, the team that was the Supersonics is now the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kevin Durant played 1 season, his first season.
Yeah,
with the Sonics. As a member of the Sonics.
Yeah. And then they became the OK Thunder.
Right.
Boy, money could do a thing, eh?
Right away, one shot.
That's why I like this Bleacher Report, right? I found they both Buddy and DeAndre are high-level trade targets, mm-hmm. right? But this feels like what the spectators want, right? Bleacher Report isn't official NBA. It isn't coaches. This feels like what the players want and not necessarily what the coaches want or see as necessary to build a team. What do you think DeAndre and Buddy going to do in the next season? Where do you think they're going to be? Buddy going to be stick with the Pacers?
Buddy has no choice but to stick with the Pacers. Now, the Pacers decide they can trade him. That's one thing.
Right. You think the Lakers will take him?
I hope the Lakers take him.
Yeah.
He'll be a perfect complement to LeBron.
Well,
perfect,
that's what everybody's saying.
Drive and kick, and Buddy is automatic with those threes. You know, so and yeah. Knowing that he's going to a place like the Lakers to play alongside the King,
yeah,
he's just going to increase his level of training.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that discipline. And I like the environment. Anywhere LeBron is, I like that environment. Like, yes. See, I just sent you the video with the little children. You went to one of his schools.
You are a winner.
Yeah.
You are a winner if you play with LeBron.
You're part of the fold, right?
Right. Like the Celtics need LeBron right now because they ain't got a chance against the Warriors.
Now, listen, this is what I was trying to tell you. Look here, caller. I'm sorry about that. You could call back, caller. My apologies, but let's get to some text. And Eric, I haven't even gotten to the local news, man.
Let's get there.
All right, let's get to the text. Great show as usual. In Nassau, we have no standards for driving. People just jump in their car and just press gas because they are stuck on stupid. We're not going to call it stupid, but they are stuck on something. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they're just stuck.
Right. It's the car becomes an extension of themselves, and the person who doesn't practice mindfulness outside their car is not going to practice it inside their car. That's why these soft skills and things are so important. But let's get to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Sparky. How you doing?
You got to hang in there. You got to stick with it. You got to get hanging on. You got to call back. That's why I could take a little sis. But see, this is Friday. This is Culture Day. What day is this?
No, we on Sports Day. We had to switch the Culture Day to Thursday. I was getting people to tune up for the weekend. It couldn't work.
Well, I got a team down here in Friday State. We need you to coach us. We need you to be our coach or something.
You have a rowing team? I mean a rowing team?
We got a drinking team, a playing team, a hard-working team. We got all kinds of teams. The team is being led by Mario Bolleg, the MP.
Okay.
Minister of Youth, Sport, and Culture. So we're talking sports, so that's Minister of Youth, Sport, and Culture.
Yeah.
Okay, the team is run by Mario Bolleg.
Uh-huh.
I just want the hard-working people. You got Caleb Barnaby from the Parks and Beaches.
Uh-huh.
You got Chucky, the Baco driver.
Okay.
You got a couple of neighbors, so we need you to coach. We need to find some fruit trees. What we do is something to do with Pride of State.
Okay.
We go in round the perimeter of Pride of State, and we dig in 20-foot apart with Chucky and the Baco. We put down Bahamian fruit trees, dillies, cocoa plums, scarlet plum, all plum, mangoes, banana. All the things we just eat in the barbary grove eating.
Uh-huh.
We can put them around the park. We can make Pride of State Park different from all the parks in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And come on here from now, then you come out here on a nice day, whatever growing, you can go to the tree and pick brand fruit, whatever growing, right?
Yes.
We try to encourage people around there, these contractors who got parks to clear. Don't just mow, pick a paper model. Do something to enhance the park. And plant food. Now, I want to know if you know where I can find me some cocoa plum tree.
Yeah, boy, look
it's
here.
Sumo.
First of all, if you'd like to purchase cocoa plum trees, I can send you a number. I can find you and send you a number.
Man, you don't respond to your Facebook and Messenger. I hear you every day. You don't say nothing.
Look here, good Grammy telling me to do it, man. Sparky, here's what we're going to do. I can message you and tell you where I could find somebody who could source you cocoa plum trees to buy. But the best way to get cocoa plum is to go out on the Western Road.
Yeah.
And get Adelaide. Yourself some trimmings.
Adelaide side.
From the cocoa plum tree. But that's a great idea. If anybody is interested in a tree planting project, you just got to figure out how to get in touch with Dr. Ancelino Davis, who's now at the BNT at Bahamas National Trust, and he has a tree planting initiative going on now for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great thing. Okay, Eric, man, I had so much local news.
Go on, talk.
That's okay, though. The Prime Minister, in the budget, allocated $1 million to facilitate the hosting of CARIFTA, funding for a bid to again host the World Relays, funding to support the return of the Bahama Games, and a 10% increase in grants for the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture.
sports is back in this country, man. That's good.
Absolutely.
That's good.
And so here's what I'm going to need you all to do. I'm going to need you all to try match that $1 million, at least. Let's match it by five.
But let's just show that we could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World relays, unfortunately, though, the earliest we can be able to get that is 2025.
Yeah,
because they go into China next year. The Bahama Games set for July 6th through 14th, 2023. Dear family islanders, don't wait for Nassau to tell you when it's time to start working on this. You all start organizing, start training, start fundraising, get your sponsors, pick your team mascots, make your team song. Kermit, if you have that song, I send you from the Baydam in Grand Bahama. Some Baydam in Grand Bahamas be making some music on the road, just like how we used to do in the sport. Mm-hmm. They got one great song about Grand Bahama. Somebody send that to me and say that should be the Bahama Games theme song for Grand Bahama team.
Okay, that's also good.
Yeah, man. But let's go to this call, Kermit. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Good morning to your guests in studio. Excellent conversation this morning. Although I'm not really a sports enthusiast per se, but I do follow some things.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the World Relays and the other one or two other sporting events that the Bahamas hope to host here. I'm going to ask you a question. I know Atlantis does an excellent job, and I'm going to call their name in particular because they have been doing a lot of things as it pertains to sports tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Other events like the World Relays and stuff, do we get the other hotels and large conglomerates to really make contributions or sponsors to these type of events? And let me tell you why I ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically the taxpayers' money is being used to fund these events in the most cases. And the spinoff is that, yes, we do get hotel rooms, hotel stays, overnight stays, and over extension of stays, whereas a lot of these large hotels and motels, they tend to be the benefactors of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Do we actually get them to actually directly sponsor into these type programs where we, the Bahamian people, then do get a spinoff from them getting the room nights and everything from our benefit? That is something that I haven't really heard anyone speak to. It's just a thought that came across my mind just now. As far as the family islands are concerned, I believe that our athletes who have been practicing so hard on those islands, and many of the athletes, unbeknownst to us, who are trying to get to this level, we somehow, I believe the money can't be used then to get them here into the capital, since the event is here in the capital, which helps to defray some of their expenses in getting here to the capital to participate.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some incentives that I'm thinking about that, you know, now we got to start thinking outside of the box and really start to help some of our persons who are participating in these types of events and the others likened to this, that we can then give some incentives to inspire our people that, yes, it's not all financially up to them to get here, but but the government through subventions or the government through or private citizens or the corporate citizens in particular would also help to subsidize some of the expenses that they have to incur.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call this morning. An excellent contribution.
Absolutely.
Conversation.
Excellent contribution from you, sir. Thank you so much. And I think the new research center at UB could do a costing of that, right? An analysis of what we benefit from. But Atlantis, Battle for Atlantis, and then there is another basketball tournament in Paradise. Atlantis partners with the golf tournaments. It provides a space for, I think, golfers for the golf, one or two of the golf programs. Bahama is beginning to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the SAC Alumni Association is hosting the Uncle Lou, I think it's the inaugural Uncle Lou Adley Charity Golf Tournament on Saturday, June 11th at the Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahama starting at 8 a.m. And the tournament is a part of a fundraising operation campaign for a multi-purpose complex that will...
Where SAC people could cheat? some more?
No, they say they're going to open it up to the general public. Okay. So if there's any cheating, we all going to learn how to cheat.
Okay, good.
And that's what I appreciate about SOC.
Good.
They can share. If you could get there, you could get there.
Good.
They're going to have a running track, softball fields, and a multi-purpose gymnasium, which I think is a good idea. Now, listen, people. We with this.
It's good training.
Let me tell you why. The gymnasiums have the, I like to call it the elastic floor. They have the bouncy floor. If you've ever been...
Parquet.
If you've ever been running on one of them, it's good for the knees because it gives way.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, I felt like I was... I mean, not buddy, because I felt like I could play with you on that court, buddy. The ease to exercise, to take the strain off the knees, right?
For us, like you're on a mini trampoline.
Yeah, for us big-bodied people, that may be a great way to get back into sports and being active, running on one of those tracks, right? So it's a great idea, man. And that you will keep it, allow it to be open to the general public is great. Registration forms can be found at the SAC Alumni Association organization. Or if you go to the SAC Alumni office at Toyota Auto Mall on Shirley Street, let me just take a moment here, Eric, to say good morning to Lorraine and all of the hardworking staff at Toyota Auto Mall on Shirley Street. I didn't know that y'all was the alumni SAC office, but I still love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that get...
Even though they come from a place of cheaters.
I mean, I can't say that entirely.
That's all right. Wait, listen to me.
Personal experience? I don't know what y'all do to my friend.
We don't have enough time for me to actually tell my story.
Okay, but I can make time. I can make time. Not today, though.
Yeah.
So listen, almost 100 more youngsters. Remember last week we talked about the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association Saturday program? 100 more young people showed up at last Saturday's event. Isn't that awesome?
That's great, man. They're getting some traction.
Yeah.
Also, on the Pinewood Park.
Yeah.
You know, and when you go into the roundabout.
Yeah.
They have a thing that they do out there whereby kids are out there and they're practicing archery.
Oh, they do archery in Pinewood.
Right there. Like I mean the targets are maybe 10, 15 feet away.
Yeah.
But it's kids ranging in age from 5 to 15 and they're there every Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean plastic arrows.
Yeah. Listen,
But they have bows and they doing what they have to do.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable to see. And I talk about every Saturday, you know, when I'm on the way to the barber. Every single Saturday I pass and there's at least maybe 50 kids and it's growing.
This is awesome.
Every week it's growing by 4 or 5.
And that means we got about, at least pre-pandemic, we had about 2 or 3 archery clubs. It's great to see that they're still rolling.
Right in the neighborhood, man.
And right, easy to get to. And listen, your child don't have to be good, you know. What it is it's the skills that they get to practice. Like with archery, hand-to-eye coordination.
Mm-hmm.
With tennis, hand-to-eye coordination.
Yes.
Even with the chess tournament we talked about the other day, the coach was like, listen, what this does for young people in terms of personal development and discipline, they have the one-touch rule. Once you touch a piece, that's the piece you have to move, right?
That's what it is.
And once you've moved it, you moved it. It teaches discipline and mindfulness, right, and spatial awareness, and it causes young people to develop self-control and for them to really think about what they're going to do before they do it. So even if you think your child is just a bubbler and they ain't never going to win anything, still give them the opportunity.
Yeah, and you go there and they can make some lifelong friends and lifelong connections from now.
Yes, and they may not be the star athlete, they may be the star cheerleader, and it may not be in a rah-rah pom-pom, it may be jokes.
Right, or the star coach in the future.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Or the statistician, please. Right. The actuarial science. Yeah, there's lots of money for statisticians and people who keep score and keep records in sports.
Yes.
Lots of money. Okay, so following that, here's another reason why you should take your children out to the tennis, to the BLTA Play Tennis Program. Team Bahamas finalized the teams for the Davis Cup and the Billie Jean King Cup tournaments. And so the Davis Cup team are Kevin Major Jr., Baker Newman, and they'll be joining Spencer Newman and Marvin Roll for the Davis team, who will play in Group 3 America's competition in Costa Rica in June 22 to 25th, so 22nd to the 25th. And on the women's side for the Billie Jean King Cup tournament, we have Simone Pratt, 16-year-old Sierra Rogers, Sydney Clark, and Ilana Mackey. And they will be going to the DR to play, but no date has been set yet for that tournament. Also, winners were crowned.
Even the Governor General Youth Award Program is a part of tennis now.
Yeah, so yeah.
They're doing something there too. Oh, that's good. And GGYA always has a good following.
Yeah. And so if you are part of GGYA and you're looking for that type of activity, let your team leader know.
That's actually a part of what you need to do in order to qualify to get your medals.
Oh, so they've made it an official part.
Oh, yeah. That was always a part. Physical recreation.
Oh, yeah, the physical recreation.
And a community service as well as the camping.
There you go.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Nice. When we were doing it, it was just
Duke of Edinburgh.
And camping. Mm-hmm. Just go run in the bush. Physical education. Okay, listen. Got to talk about the Freedom Farm Championship this last Sunday.
But that was a big deal out there, boy.
Yes, but first of all, 3-4 rookie T-ball team. The Owls defeated the Wood Stars. 5-6, that's the age category. 5-6, advanced T-ball. Sea Grapes defeated the Cocoa Plums. 7-8-year category with the coach pitch. The Boas defeated the Termites. Listen, Termites, you're almighty here. Don't let this one defeat break your spirit. 9-10 age group, the Lionfish defeated the Blue Marlins. They're environmentalists. We're going to have a conversation about that another time. 11-12-year-old group, the White Crowns defeated the Stingrays. That's the White Crown Pigeons, I imagine. Way to go. 13-14 age group, the Potcakes defeated the Silver Jacks. Let me tell you something. Johnson Road is the home of the Potcake. And we will be celebrating.
Say Potcake.
Tonight. And then the 15-20 year age group, the Tainos defeated the Caribs. 2-1. We want to say congratulations to all the players, winners and not winners, because none of y'all are losers. And to the parents, buy your children something nice. Celebrate them. They had a good turnout.
Also, Mama Boy's son was actually a part of the Lionfish team. You know, I just remember that.
Yeah? Awesome.
Yeah, man. Anton Coakley. I'm a part of the 9-10-year-old bracket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, way to go, little Lionfish. Yeah, it's Lionfishes. Yeah, way to go. Good. All right, another headline to check out. This one comes from the Nassau Tribune. Bahamas All-Pro Celebrity Weekend is set for June 9th through 13th. Right? And you can meet NFL... Well, there'll be NFL personalities in country, including our own Bahamian descendant, Michael Strawn of the Indianapolis Colts, and Rashad Fenton of the Kansas City Chiefs. Other guests include four-time Pro Bowler and iconic quarterback Michael Vick, wide receiver Keenan Allen, edge rusher Melvin Ingram, and free agent safety DJ Swearinger. He is not a musical DJ, I do not think. Anyway. So on that June 11th, they're going to have the players camp. On the 10th, they're partnering with BNT to do a mangrove cleanup. And later
that's always a good thing.
Yeah, man.
That, yeah.
And later.
You don't understand how important the mangroves are.
No, to stop in storms. I mean, that's the only thing that could stop a hurricane. Even your Grammy can't cuss down a hurricane. But no. The mangrove could do it. And so they're going to have a charity dinner and cocktail hour at Sapodilla. The proceeds will go towards the Bahamas Association of American Football. And so that is another local story. Also, what we were talking about at the top of the show, Olympic, the Bahama Games, July 16th to 14th, 2023. Here's what the other things are going to be happening, and I think the caller alluded to it. The Babe Ruth Caribbean Championships and the North American, Central American, and Caribbean Athletic Association Championships will also be hosted in the Bahamas this year with the NACAC Championships in Grand Bahama at the Grand Bahama Sporting
Complex. Grand Bahama doing well, man.
Complex, yeah.
Happy for them.
They're coming back, and that's going to be August the 19th through the 21st in Grand Bahama. And that'll be the fourth NACAC Championships. And Shanae Miller-Weibo, Stephen Gardner, Anthony Strawn, Devin Charlton, Tania Gator, and a whole bunch of international athletes we're hoping are going to show up and sound show
like a,
out.
Sound like a party in Grand Bahama.
That's right, that's right. Now, listen. For the Bahama Games, for the Grand Bahama Games, for all of these games where athletes are traveling, remember, we're still dealing with COVID. So we cannot leave it up to the athlete to figure out where they're going to stay. We need a housing protocol. We need a system that takes into account the need for people. Well, that not everybody could go to a family or a friend's home. They got to stay COVID-free. There has to be some degree of testing and safety protocols for the people who are participating in the games.
And cleanliness, too.
Yeah. So we need to find, we need some sponsors to sponsor some hotel room, some rooms, maybe some Airbnbs so we could put athletes up in their country, their island teams, their district teams, so they could stay together. Yeah, man, all of these things. I'm sure you guys are working out the details. And also, Bahamian professional baseball player Deshaun Knowles won the Player of the Week award for the California League in minor league baseball.
He's coming up. He's going to be the next Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, for the week of May 16th to 22. And also, who injured Jazz Chisholm? Well, I can tell you, I don't think they meant to injure Jazz Chisholm. Man, Eric, I missed that story right out.
No,
anyway,
man.
Jazz had a hamstring.
Yeah, he'll be back. It's one of those things that happen when it comes to sprinters.
Right, but it's very important because he is in the process of possibly, you know, being chosen for one of these MVP All-Star teams.
Yeah. He's probably still going to make the All-Star team. Yeah, because he has a move. Like, when he hits a home run, he has a move. When he comes to the plate, he's go left, right. He swish left and right.
Yeah.
Like, he just dancing.
Like a Bahamian shuffle. Yeah.
You make it look like a layup at the rim.
Well, look here, Jazz. You need to teach us that so we could do that when you playing.
Yeah,
and that's what it means to have a sports industry. Producer, let's take this last call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, y'all. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to be, right? You know, so I'm doing well, right?
I miss you entirely just now. You fading out, cuz.
And bringing in these international events, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, man, I am so sorry we miss you, caller. Your sound just faded out entirely. It faded out entirely. Okay, Texas says, tell Eric come off the radio talking foolishness. Anger B, Warriors in 5, I'm sure. Tell my cousin, I'll bet him his coffee. Boy, they know you. That's a big, big bet.
That's a big, big bet. All right.
I think the high scores in the NBA are because everybody wants to shoot the deep three now.
That's a bet. Coffee? Yeah, but it's Starbucks. Give me the, what a cup named Grande. Yeah, we had a big one. Give me a Grande.
Dominique Wilkins was the best in-game dunker.
No. Vince Carter was the best in-game dunker. Now, Dominique is a close second. Jordan ain't even as good as Dominique.
Yeah.
But
even LeBron ain't as good as Vince.
No. Yeah. When you can dunk over a 7-foot-tall man in a game, over him, you know, clean over him. I could pull it up on my phone, no problem. This was the year 2000. He dunked over the whole man. The man was standing right there. You didn't go through him, you know. You didn't go around him, you know. You just went simply over the man. No one yet has done that in a game.
Yeah.
Now, they do it, you know, as a part of the slam dunk competition and whatnot.
But not in a game.
Yeah.
Now, I see some of these young boy watching the clips and watching reels. Some of these young boy, you should not insure them.
Yeah, man.
They don't have any sense. They way up at the moon trying to dunk on you.
Anthony Edwards.
I can't wait to see them on the pitch. On the pitch. I can't wait to go watch some cricket. I gotta return. When the playoffs are over, you know I got to go back to being British, right?
Yeah.
Soccer and cricket and a bit of rugby.
Football.
Yes, there you go. Anyway, we are all out of time. Dear Texter, I am reading your text. In my mind, I am not reading this out loud. It's Sports Friday, but we're not into all of that hullabaloo. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green and Eric Sawyer III on this
Thank
Sports Friday. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And remember, take this fire with you through the weekend. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Yeah.
Fire, fire, fire. We get them the fire. vibe is on fire, you need that.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.